Ricky McKinney joins the show now. Hi, Ricky.
How you doing, Luke? So glad to be here.
Oh, likewise. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. Looking forward to coming to Colorado and having a wonderful time.
I'll bet you've been here a few times, haven't you?
Yeah, we've been blessed to come to the city a few times, but every time we come back, we always come back feeling good and ready to do it all over again.
You get a little bit closer to God when you're in Colorado, I guess. Literally.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, attitude, huh?
Yeah. Well, first, I want to start by asking you about a couple of your founding members. I don't think either of them tour with you very much. How is Clarence Fountain doing, and also Jimmy Carter?
Okay, Clarence Fountain, he's doing good. He's in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. He has been on dialysis for a few years, so he doesn't travel with us as much. But Jimmy Carter, he's alive and well. He'll be right there in Colorado with the Blind Boys of Alabama. He's still traveling. He's still looking good, singing good, and just having a good time.
Speaking of looking good, every video I watched of you guys are dressing pretty sharp out there.
Well, we try hard.
No, you guys look really great, but I'm really happy that Jimmy Carter is still touring. That's pretty impressive. I think he's as old as my mother. Is he 85?
Well, I'm just going to say he is in his 80s, still, you know, he's still traveling, still singing, and going out into the audience and shaking people's hands, and we just, you know, we're having a good time.
Well, you know, he must love what he does.
Oh, yeah, sure does.
That's what keeps you going after all these years. And I just have to say that, you know, that's pretty impressive. I know that I'm thinking of Pinetop Perkins, who recently passed several years ago, but he was 93, I think, when he passed, and he was still touring up until the very end. That's so impressive to me.
Right. Jimmy has always said that as long as he can, when he's able, he will be touring with the Blind Boys of Alabama. So we look to have him here for many more years to come.
Well, Ricky, I know that you joined the band. You're sort of a relative newcomer. I mean, you joined in 1989, so it's been 27 years. My God, that's a long time already yourself. But you joined the band when it pretty much started its popular ascendancy, didn't you?
Well, you know, I actually have been playing with the Blind Boys on and off ever since the early 70s.
Oh.
So I've been playing with the Blind Boys on and off for about 40 years, but I've been a member for about 28 years.
Huh, 40 years, that's impressive. What's even more impressive, though, is the fact that it began in the late 30s, early 40s.
1939, at the Talladega Institute for the Blind, it was a group called the Happyland Jubilee Singers. And in 1944, they became the Blind Boys of Alabama.
Because they were in competition with the Blind Boys of Mississippi.
You know the story. The Blind Boys from Alabama and the Blind Boys from Mississippi were in a concert together, and the name stuck.
You know, times were very different back then. Did you get some of the stories about, the early years of the Blind Boys of Alabama?
Yeah, I've been doing Clarence here since I was about 4 years old. I know a lot about the Blind Boys. They had a lot of opportunities to go and sing soul music. They decided they wanted to sing gospel. And, the South was rough, but people, when you had a disability of some sort, people were a little bit different towards you. They treated you a little bit better from time to time. But they did sleep in hotels that were in different hotels, at different restaurants, but they still slept and ate, so everything worked out good.
I guess what the reason it worked out good is because they held true to their mission, which was serving the greater glory of God.
That's it.
You know, some of these songs that you sing, I'm sure you must have sang them hundreds of times. And I wonder if there are some times where the Spirit is really moving. And if so, what does that feel like? And do you all know it at the same time when you're on stage singing those songs?
Well, you know, what's from the heart reaches the heart. And we sing songs like Look Where It Brought Me From and Amazing Grace. Those songs just touch the heart.
That's the secret, touching the heart. Huh. I think you have a good strategy. You touch the heart first, and you move the heart, and then you move their butts. Is that a fair?
It all works together.
It sort of does, doesn't it? I mean, but I have to say, I was interested in reading that back when Sam Cooke decided to leave the Soul Stirrers and become a pop musician, that the same deal was offered to the Blind Boys of Alabama, but they didn't take it.
That's true. Specialty Records offered the Blind Boys the same deal. They decided to stay with the gospel.
And you've done that all the way through, but you're also known for collaborations with a lot of popular musicians, country musicians, blues musicians, and just recently indie rock musicians with Justin Vernon, Bon Iver. Has that always been a conscious strategy for the Blind Boys of Alabama to increase their range and their audience?
Right. The Blind Boys have always believed that people need people, and working together works. So it has proven to be something that is really true.
And you were never afraid of going into nightclubs. I know that a lot of people in the gospel world said, what are you doing in nightclubs? But you guys decided that that's where you needed to be. Is that right?
Well, that's true. It's not about where you go, how you go in, it's how you come out. So we try to go in and come out the same way.
Huh. Do you guys still rehearse?
Yeah, we do a lot of rehearsing from time to time, but most of our rehearsals are doing our sound checks.
Oh, I see. Okay. Huh. You know, a lot of the videos that I've watched, Ricky, the harmonies are so seamless that I can't, it's hard to tell who's singing what part. Are you, I know you're not the falsetto. That's, who is that? That's Paul, right?
Right, that's true.
But which part are you singing?
I usually sing they call it just the middle part, and it's second tenor. I sing second tenor, and also I sing baritone from time to time. But now they allow me to sing some lead, so I'm kind of all over the place.
Huh. I also know that you're one of the arrangers in the band.
Right. I've had opportunity to arrange a few songs, and along with Jimmy Carter and Joey Williams, and we've had a great producer, Chris Goldsmith, wonderful booking agency, and a great management company, Blind Ambition. So all those people working together has made it great.
Huh. That's really interesting. You're also a drummer. Are you still drumming on stage with the Blind Boys of Alabama?
I'm not drumming during the Christmas tour, but I am the original drummer for the Blind Boys of Alabama. And my website is Ricky McKinney Experience, and you can check me out playing drums. But next year, I'll be back playing drums with the Blind Boys.
You said Christmas show, and I understand that's what we'll be seeing at the Wheeler Opera House in Aspen. What is a Blind Boys of Alabama Christmas show like? What are you singing, secular songs as well as, like, are you singing Good King Wenceslas, or are you singing Silent Night?
Well, yeah, the Blind Boys Christmas tour started about, I don't know, a few years ago, and every year since then we've been going out during this time, doing a Christmas tour. We sing songs like Silent Night, Go Tell It on the Mountain, When Was Jesus Born? A lot of those songs that people have been doing for a long time. Merry Christmas to You is a new song that Paul Beasley is singing that you're going to really enjoy. And I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas. That's one that sing with the group. And then we stop back and go back and sing some good gospel music.
So
everybody can enjoy. Huh.
So you're mixing in some gospel tunes with holiday tunes.
Yeah, we start off with our gospel tunes, then we do our holiday tunes, and then we go back and take them all home with some more gospel music.
Is there a set list every show, or do you guys change it up every show?
It's sort of a set list, but if the spirit comes, we have to change it up. So if the people show they enjoy what we're doing, we're going to give them everything they need. If you come feeling sad, we're going to make you feel good.
Well, I imagine you guys have honed your listening skills to the nth degree. How do you know when the spirit moves? How does that work?
Well, it's something on the inside to try to move to the outside. That's all I can tell you.
Huh. Do you know right away, or does it take a while?
Well, when it hits you, you know right away.
Huh. And so when you feel that, what happens on stage? You all sort of lock in? You all sort of conjoin? What happens?
Well, when the spirit comes, everybody, you can feel it. You can tell it in the reaction of the people. And no matter, you know, nothing from nothing leaves nothing. So we try to put out something. And if you put out something, you're going to feel something. So you'll know, because we're going to give it all we got.
Well, you're known for that. You've been known for that for years. What happens when the spirit isn't moving? How does that happen?
Well, the spirit doesn't linger within about all the time, but we give it, you know, you got to search for it. So we put it out there. And if you give it a chance, it'll come on in. So every night we sing hard and we make ourselves available. So we just have a good time.
I'm wondering how, Ricky, a man of faith, looks at the world today, all the things going on politically and socially. How does the world look to you and to the Blind Boys of Alabama?
Well, you know, it's like this. We don't really get into religion or politics, but I can tell you this much. The world has not changed. It's just the people in the world. And if the people in the world would come together, humble themselves, and get on one accord, everything's going to be all right.
I wonder if music can play a part in that.
Music always plays a part, because music is a universal message that everybody can understand.
Huh. Wow. You say you're touring Colorado right now, or will be this week, I guess. What are the audiences giving you these days? It seems like everything's very tenuous and poignant. Are you guys feeling that? Is that what you're feeling from the audiences who come to holler and shout?
Well, you know, people are going through something. And some have been disillusioned. Some just don't know which way to turn. And a lot of things are going on. But the main thing, that people are coming, reaching to feel something. I've heard a lot of people say when they left the Blind Boys concert, they didn't feel the same. So what we do is come to spread the good news, and hopefully somebody will leave feeling a little better than they did when they came to the concert.
What about you guys? Does that work for you guys too?
Yeah, it works for us, because, you know, anytime people, I'm always at the end of the concert, you can always meet me at the record table. But when people come and tell me how much they enjoyed the program and how the music made a difference in their life, it gives me the will to keep on keeping on.
Who was the one who thought of singing Amazing Grace to the tune of House of the Rising Sun?
We had a producer. He thought of that. His name was John Shalhoub. John Shalhoub, he brought that song to the Blind Boys, and at first we thought it was the greatest thing in the world. And then when we sang to it in our harmonies, we decided that, hey, this just might work. And it's been a great song ever since.
Well,
the words is what makes the difference.
Yeah, yeah. Somebody told me there's a radio station in Florida that plays nothing but Amazing Grace, all different versions.
Well, that's a new one to me, too. So when you find out, hit me up.
Yeah, well, there must be a million versions, but I'll bet yours is the only one sung to House of the Rising Sun, and somehow it works. It leaves me with a sense of, I don't know, foreboding somehow. There's something about that melody and that tune that is a little bit on the dark side. No?
Well, the melody gets your attention, and the word is what brings you on in. See, in order to reach out to somebody, you got to get their attention. So the melody gets the attention, and the word touches the heart.
Okay. Is that the way you approach every song?
Every song.
Huh. Do you guys compose your own tunes?
Yeah, we have been working on some songs, but we have composed a lot of tunes throughout the years. You know, Blind Boy has been recording for years and years and years, and all of the recordings that we did up until year 2000 were Blind Boy's records. And they were produced by the Blind Boys, and we just started using outside producers in the year 2000 with Chris Goldsmith.
Okay, so it's the producers that bring a lot to these projects. All of these collaborations, like with the country musicians, and that great duets CD that you did with singing with Solomon Burke and Lou Reed. John Hammond, Toots Hibbert even. How about that?
Right. You know, the Blind Boys have been a gospel group and still are a gospel group. So we really didn't know very many people in other genres. So different producers came up with different people and different songs. And the songs were good songs, and they were nice people. So we didn't mind singing the song.
Okay, so now do all of you get together and decide, yes, we're going to do this, or no, we're not going to do that? Or is Jimmy the leader and makes those decisions?
Well, Jimmy is the group leader for the Blind Boys of Alabama. I'm the business manager for the Blind Boys of Alabama, and Jody Williams is the music director for the Blind Boys. But we all come together, listen to the songs, and decide what we want to do.
Ricky McKinney, are you working to bring the next generation into the Blind Boys of Alabama? And if so, how?
You know, our ears always stay open and our minds stay open. And hopefully there are going to be some young people out there that will come to the program or hear the Blind Boys somewhere and want to be a part of it, want to carry on the legacy of the Blind Boys of Alabama, because I am truly... think this group has been favored by God to do what we're doing. So we just keep our eyes and ears open to hear from somebody that they like what we're doing. And if they are qualified to keep it going, hopefully after I'm gone, there'll still be somebody that wants to be the Blind Boys of Alabama.
Well, I guess my question is, at some point, God willing, or God not willing, I guess, Clarence and Jimmy will pass the scene, and what happens then to the Blind Boys of Alabama?
Well, if Jimmy or Clarence happen to be called on home, like Billy Bowers, and there's been many people that passed on from the Blind Boys of Alabama, George Scott, who was the Jubilee King, the first guitar player for the Blind Boys, Johnny Fields, who was the manager and bass singer for the Blind Boys, Alice Thomas, he was a baritone singer. A lot of people have passed on, but the group lived on. So I got Blind Boys in my heart, and as long as I'm here, I'm around, it's going to be a Blind Boys of Alabama, and I'm going to keep searching while I'm here to find people that, after we're gone, will be able to carry on the torch. But if not, somebody look back in history and say, there was a group called the Blind Boys of Alabama.
And they were superb. Ricky McKinney, I want to thank you so much for joining us for 20 minutes here on KDNK, and look forward to seeing you in Aspen at the Wheeler Opera House.
Looking forward to being there, Luke. Looking forward to meeting you also. I want to tell everybody to tell somebody, don't miss it when the boys are back in town.